The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Jonathan McRae is with me, though. Before any of that, presenter Future Proof, of course, here on News Talk, to talk a little bit about AI. So, Jonathan, I'm probably, like lots of people who've listened to this show, very excited when all of this came on our radar a few months ago, your ChatGPTs or whatever. You dabbled around, had a bit of fun, got it to write a funny limerick about your colleague who was leaving work and you had to write something in their card. And after that, I wasn't really sure what to do with it and I've just stopped using it.
Yeah.
So you are going to provide us with what's, I guess, something of a guide to actually get use out of these type of tools. Is that right?
Yeah. So when this came out about 2 years ago, I remember just bringing up one of the researchers in DCU we have on the program about AI, and I was like, is this what I think it is? And this is, a well-published AI researcher at the time, and he went, this is crazy stuff, what's going on? So what has happened since is there's a huge, you've heard of the hype curve, right? So we're right at the top of the hype curve of AI and all of this promise of this technology when it was given to us really early and not really at a state for doing it. So most people use ChatGPT for marketing or for writing, an email to say, I'm resigning from this position and just don't want to spend too much time on it. But actually, the power of these things is actually when you start talking to it and feeding it information and telling it what you can expect. And most people just use it for language, but you can use it for so much stuff. So I kind of had this moment where I was doing something at home and I was like, there must be an easier way to do this. And I started using ChatGPT and I was like, you know what? I'm doing this sort of stuff all the time. I'm going to do a course on how to do this, because a lot of the courses at the moment, they're about ethics or they're about, enterprise, or they're about how to use data analysis or whatever. But actually, most people want to know, for example, my wife, right? She had this web page and there was a whole lot of names on it with speakers and their departments. And she wanted to get an Excel spreadsheet from that.
Yeah.
She was like, how the hell do I do that? And that's a tricky thing to do technologically, right? With ChatGPT, if you know how to prompt it and what to say to it, how to guide it, and actually, crucially, how to tell it when it's done wrong, which
yes.
is the really amazing thing about ChatGPT. You can get, those sort of things that you go, oh, this is going to take forever. You can do it in seconds. And I'm constantly overhearing conversations with people and going, that's a great thing for ChatGPT. So this is a 2-hour workshop where we're going to teach people how to get, really, really good at just having conversations and correcting ChatGPT.
Okay, yeah. And I'll give these details again, but Get Started AI is... .com is the kind of website to find out about these courses Jonathan mentions, and they're happening towards the end of the month, a couple of different ones. But like I say, all the detail forthcoming. But give us a sense of what people might experience at these courses in terms of kind of day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Beyond kind of wanting to kind of scrape all this data and put it into an Excel spreadsheet, from kind of university departments or whatever it happens to be. I mean, are there things that we are doing, most of us, on a day-to-day basis that could be made that a little bit easier?
Yeah. So say, for example, you have a business and you have a bunch of documents like your standard operating procedure, the board, details about the board. You might have, guidelines on how things are done in the company. You can actually create a little chat within ChatGPT, and then you can just ask it questions. And you can actually tell ChatGPT to become your voice assistant. So if you're in the middle of a meeting, right, you can just ask this assistant, is there something in the company guidelines about this? Or where does it say this in the contract? If you're having a conversation with a contract, you can actually have a conversation with a PDF. Right. So you can, instead of searching for the word.
Instead of the old control F.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to control.
One of 75.
Exactly.
Hold on. Next.
Which is so frustrating. So you can actually just say, whereabouts in it does this? And you could also say to it, for example, with a legal document, you could say, are there weaknesses that could be exposed here? Could I rewrite this clause to have it more favorable for me? So that's one example. Another example is you could get it to do sentiment analysis, right? So say I was the new head of News Talk, right? And I wanted to see what people were saying about your program. Right?
Okay, yeah.
I could download all the comments from the comment website, our portal, right? And what I could do is I could say, search this data file And give me a sentiment analysis of it. And what I can say is, give me look at these sentences and tell me if people are saying positive or negative things about Ciarán. And so it would see lots of, you know, unnecessarily combative, you know, those sort of comments that you might come through from this, yeah, this show.
90% negative.
Unnecessarily hostile, yeah, those sort of things.
But 90-95%.
But you'd be able to, you know, stream through maybe 1,000, 2,000 comments. And it might also say, you know, you might say, look through those comments, and then you might ask it, okay, based on these negative comments, pick out the ones that are most strongly worded and provide me with some sort of tactics to address those. So,
yeah,
you know, it can take all sorts of unstructured information. You can imagine you could do that for Twitter reviews or product reviews and that sort of thing, which is great. And I think, you know, big companies have these, you know, large enterprise uses for, and they train their own private LLMs. But actually you can use ChatGPT very securely and do simple stuff. So you have a database of all your sales. You can say, okay, create a database based on this. You can then ask it to visualize this. And you can ask it questions about your sales. You could say, give me patterns from the sales figures that you have, and give me suggestions of what I might be able to do with it.
Well, how much should people trust in the answer that it is giving them?
So the answers that I have when I'm giving it information that's based on my own, you know, my own business or my own, it's really, really good. It's really, really good. And I would always say, you know, AI with a person checking the work is an amazing solution. And AI just completely unchecked is kind of crazy. But actually, a friend of mine recently came back from holiday. He's a technologist like myself. And he got an email from his car hire company, and they said, you left the keys in the car and there was damage. And he was like, there was no damage to the car. We're charging you €500. I don't know about you, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, oh man, this is going to be a nightmare. This is going to be a nightmare. He went to ChatGPT, he said, write me a hostile email challenging this and say, I need to hear from you in 10 days. He didn't even look at it, right? He just sent it off because he was like, I don't have time to deal with it. I might as well give this a go. 10 days later, he wrote a follow-up email saying, I haven't heard from you in 10 days. He asked ChatGPT to write a threat of legal proceedings.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, 2 hours later, he got his €500 back. So there are creative ways of doing it where you don't really need to think too much about it. But there are ways of really getting a huge amount out of it if you are taught to have that conversation, because you can correct it.
Yeah. OK, so let's talk a little bit about that, because you said, you know, it's really important that you can correct it, that you can point out where it has gone wrong and why it has gone wrong. Why is that such a clever innovation?
Because you can't do it with any other technology. You can't, if you ask a computer program to run an idea and then you ask it to do it again, it will always give you the same answer. But I had problems with, someone gave me a script and it was in Excel landscape, which is just a nightmare. So I said, look, do this in Word, please. And it got some of the columns wrong. And I said, no, just try that again. You put you put my script in column B. Actually, the script is in column C. And it understood that from plain language. I could have actually spoken to it and explained it to it. And then it gave me a perfect answer. And that, you know, to do that again, it takes a huge amount of time. And you can, you know, if you've got a conference, loads of people come to the conference, lots of different times that people are speaking, you can get it to schedule things, which takes a huge amount of time. Make sure there's no overlaps. Make sure people have breaks in between their talks. There's so many applications for it. But as you say, the biggest problem with ChatGPT is it was released so early that when we first got it, it was hallucinating all over the place. A lot of these AI models, you know, have a mild bit of racism if you just probe deeply enough. Now they're really, really good. And like, you genuinely have people who at the highest level of AI talking about actual general AI, like an AI that is human-like in the next decade. And that sounds like nonsense, but the stuff that we're talking about now, it was really, it was so mind-blowing that the AI researcher who was supposed to be leading this field, he just didn't know, what had happened. It was a bombshell.
So, you know the way people speak ill of the algorithm, but we talk about it as if it's a thing kind of looming, the boogie monster or something under the bed, the AI algorithm and how it creates these silos or these echo chambers. Does the same thing happen with AI, with ChatGPT, that it begins to learn, it learns your mannerisms, it learns the answers that you want? So, and it responds to that.
So that's a good example. What you can do is you can actually create a chat. So I would say to anyone, if you're using ChatGPT, keep the conversations about a specific thing in a separate chat. That's a really important point. So that when you talk to the ChatGPT next time, it has all the frame of reference of your conversation. Most people just start a new chat every time. But actually, if you're talking about one thing, for example, you know, this upcoming event, if I keep all my talk about it, I don't have to keep explaining what I need to do and so on. But I could say to ChatGPT, I could say, assume that I want to be cost efficient in everything I'm doing. From now on, only answer questions in this chat with an eye on cost efficiency. And then any questions you might ask about, you know, your sales data or any of these operations, it knows the first thing it's going to do is think about, okay, we want to reduce costs to keep that down.
Yeah.
You can also say to it, for example, you could say, my audience is, you know, say, for example, you're running, an event and lots of people there who are, you know, speaking different languages. You could say, make sure that everything you tell me is in a language that is in plain English that any person would speak. And then you ask it to explain. And then you will always get that sort of a response. It's a root prompt for ChatGPT.
So the event that is happening, the events, rather plural, happening at the end of the month. I mean, who are they pitched at? Are they pitched at, is it the business community who can make the most out of this at the moment? Is it everybody listening to this show?
So it's anyone who is curious about what this thing can do for me.
Yeah.
Particularly if you find yourself, you know, in a small to medium enterprise, you know, you're a professional, you're not working on a huge, large company where there are, you know, AI policies and they're developing their own AI. The people who can really benefit this are the people who go, I wish I had a assistant who could do this. I wish I knew someone who could do spreadsheets. You know, you can build graphs and do Excel work just by talking to AI. So it's anybody who thinks, I spend a lot of my time doing really, really annoying stuff that I wish I knew how to do it quicker.
Yeah.
And the creativity is actually where you really realize there's so many things you can do much, much quicker.
Somebody here says, well, one person says, say goodbye to your jobs. Say goodbye to your own research, analysis and thinking skills. Is there something in that?
So, look, you sometimes worry about young people and their access to these sort of programs. I really think, you know, if you just say, well, it's not happening, you know, it's not going to do anyone any good, right? If you just put your head in the sand, everybody's using these tools. And actually, I do think that as a country, we should understand and be adept at these tools because there are other, we're going to be competing against businesses and individuals in other countries who are using these tools. So I do think it is important. Whether or not you're going to lose all of your rational analysis, I suppose, you know, there is a risk of that dropping down if you don't think about what you're doing. I mean, at the same time, you know, I had my son had to do a drawing of Ares for his classical studies class. And I said, well, look, Casper, you know, I can use this app called Perplexity, which, by the way, is a great app for asking questions and it uses ChatGPT and Claude Pro.
Yeah.
And you can get it for free for the first five questions. It's a really good one. Perplexity, it's called. I said, well, you can just ask this app and in 2 seconds, it can give you all the information about Ares and you could learn what it would look like and how he's drawn. And he went, nah. So, you know, the laziness of children may end up being our savior. You know, he didn't even bother to interact with this.
But also, I mean, this person is worrying about people losing their kind of critical thinking skills generally. Much of what we learn in school, or much of what we spend our time doing, certainly in university, actually has nothing to do with critical thinking. It's rote learning, or you're kind of just going through large bodies of work.
Yeah. Primary school. They are trying to do a lot more in secondary schools, obviously. Yeah. And in university, that it is supposed to be all about that. And actually, universities are really considering where they lie in this particular area because I had a conversation with a lecturer in DCU and they said, we can't tell anymore. There's no way of telling. So someone could have taken the project we gave them and literally word for word had it generated by AI. Yeah. There's no way we'd be able to tell.
I spoke to somebody, a student in a university in the UK, and they changed during the academic year last year. They just completely vault-faced, changed university policy. You can now use it for everything because there is actually no point in us saying you can't use it. We can't tell the difference.
No. And I suppose, you know, then you pivot your university courses to point towards actual conversations with human beings. You know, you sit down and you're assessed face to face and you have conversations. But I think is actually a much better way of assessing someone's understanding anyway, because people always were able to Google things on the internet. Plagiarism was always a bit of a problem. I think running away from these tools is kind of problematic. But, you know, you talked about people losing their jobs. you know, the large tech companies say, oh, you know, it's not about that. It's, a, you know, there's always going to be human in the loop. When IBM announced that it was using Watson for, you know, for business, and they were basically using this engine they developed to help, you know, launch customer service things. I rang up IBM at the time and I said, just out of interest, what are most of the calls for? You know, why are people thinking about using Watson? And they were like, oh, mostly to reduce headcount. So people are thinking, you know, how do I reduce my costs?
Yeah.
But that, you know, that those people could be used to do more creative things. And a lot of the time, the stuff that AI is really getting rid of is really the job that you don't want. Like I did customer service. I did tech support. Oh man, I hated those jobs. Like they're not good jobs for your brain or your longevity, typically in my experience. And there are much more fruitful ways to spend your time.
Robert in Cork says, AI won't take your job, but the person who can effectively harness AI will take your job.
That's it.
Well, if you want to effectively harness AI, the first two get started with AI events taking place at the end of this month. The Marine Hotel in Dunleary, the 26th of September, and in Ballsbridge in the Clayton Hotel on the 30th of September. Tickets and information at getstartedai.com. Jonathan Healy, presenter of Futureproof. Jonathan, thanks a million for coming into us.
Thanks, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.